Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
The United States ordered new economic restrictions against North Korea this week that directly answer human rights abuse. The restrictions are expected to have limited impact. The United States has almost no direct business connections to North Korea. But supporters say the measures send an important message to North Korean leaders. The restrictions target North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, and other top officials, as well as several government agencies. The U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Powers, said the restrictions send a message to many in North Korea, not just its top leaders. She said it will be heard by prison camp managers and guards, secret police, interrogators, and persecutors of defectors. The U.S. Treasury Department said North Korea's Ministry of State Security and other agencies commonly torture people. Treasury officials said such acts include beatings, forced starvation, forced abortions, sexual attacks, and the killing of babies. South Korea said it supports the U.S. decision. The measures include a freeze on U.S. bank accounts belonging to Kim Jong-un and other North Korean officials. Cho Jun-hyuk is an official with the South Korean Foreign Ministry. He said the restrictions will raise awareness internationally of the broad and systemic human rights violations in North Korea. Among the agencies targeted is the Ministry of People's Security, which operates police stations and detention centers, including labor camps. Phil Robertson is deputy director of the Asia Division of Human Rights Watch. He said the restrictions show that the international community is increasingly concerned about the North Korean government abuses. Restrictions against North Korea are nothing new. This year, the United Nations Security Council approved new measures that block North Korean money movement and the trade of minerals. Those restrictions followed North Korea's fourth nuclear test and a long-distance rocket launch. North Korea reacted to the UN move with a declaration that it would continue its nuclear development program. It also test-fired short and medium-distance missiles. I'm Katie Weaver.
The fallout from Britain's vote to leave the European Union is not limited to Britain. There are new efforts to stop EU immigration quotas in Hungary. In addition, Poland, the Czech Republic, and Slovakia recently joined Hungary in arguing for less EU control over their nations. In the Netherlands, some people are pushing for a vote to leave the EU, similar to the vote held last month in Britain. Half of Dutch voters support such a referendum, according to public opinion surveys. In Hungary, voters will decide in coming months on whether to reject German Chancellor Angela Merkel's proposals for accepting refugees. Germany is a leader of the EU and has Europe's largest economy. Attila Zigeti lives in the Hungarian town of Bishkek, about 37 kilometers west of Budapest. He plans to vote against the migrant quotas. At first, Zigeti said he did not have a problem with immigrants. "They did not do anything serious, just stealing corn from the edge of my cornfield," he said. But as the number of new arrivals grew, so did the problems, he noted. Zigeti recently cut off all the hair from his head, but denied he is a skinhead. "With this look, I do not need to watch my back. I do not have to be afraid, because this way I appear tough," he said. Refugees and migrants in the Hungarian camp are surprised some Europeans see them as a threat. "Why are we not allowed here in Europe? We are not human beings like you?" asks Mano, a 22-year-old medical student from Afghanistan. He arrived at the camp last week. He left Afghanistan after extremists killed his brother, who worked as a translator for French forces. Mano said he and others should not be seen as threats. "What can we bring with ourselves? Nothing. We also want peace. That's why we leave our country," he added. I'm Bruce Albert.
Cambodia will now be able to export luggage and other travel goods to the United States without paying some American taxes. The U.S. Trade Representative, Michael Froman, announced the change this week. The change relates to the new U.S. Generalized System of Preferences, also known as the GSP. Froman said the new trade preferences should be a big help to Cambodia and other countries that produce travel goods. Currently, the import market for travel goods is valued at $10 billion. The U.S. ambassador to Cambodia said the change could open a new market for Cambodian exporters and create thousands of new jobs for Cambodians. The U.S. government hoped Cambodian manufacturers would use the change to diversify the country's economy and reduce poverty, said Ambassador William Haidt. May Kalien, a senior advisor to Cambodia's Supreme National Economic Council, said the move was good for the economy. "When we have the market, I believe that more investors will come to invest in Cambodia," he said. "It will allow our economy to progress, allow the people to have jobs, and more importantly, it will give more added value." Cambodia exports more than $5 billion every year to its two major textile export markets. They are the United States and European Union. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
A large model of the boat that many people believe saved Noah, his family, and animals from the biblical flood officially opened Thursday. The boat, called an ark, is part of a religious theme park in the American state of Kentucky. The park is called Ark Encounter. The wooden boat is said to be built to the height and length described in the Bible. It measures 155 meters long and 15 meters tall. The ark is estimated to have cost more than $100 million to build. Thousands of people are expected to visit the Ark Encounter. The new Noah's Ark has restarted the debate between supporters of scientific explanations of life and those supporting divine creation. 4 years ago, one study found that 46% of Americans can be described as creationists. That means they believe God created humans in their present form at some point within the last 10,000 years. The 2012 Gallup Public Opinion Survey was based on comments of 1,012 adults. Ken Ham is the president of Answers in Genesis, the Christian group that built the ark. He believes the structure is going to be one of the greatest Christian outreaches. His group believes that God created the world about 6,000 years ago. It also believes humans and dinosaurs were on Earth at the same time. Scientists say dinosaurs died out 65 million years before human beings appeared on Earth. Displays inside the ark include images of Noah's family and rows of cages containing replicas of animals, including dinosaurs. Critics say the ark will hurt science education. They say the ark should not have received state and local tax breaks. News reports set the value of the tax rebates at $18 million. Another report valued the rebates at $80 million over 20 years. However, Ham disputes this. His group hopes more than 2 million people will visit the ark each year. Answers in Genesis also built the nearby Creation Museum, which opened 9 years ago. I'm Pete Musto.
The U.S. Space Agency has announced it is extending the mission of the New Horizons spacecraft. New Horizons is a spacecraft without a human crew. It was the first spacecraft to visit the dwarf planet Pluto. It gathered pictures and information about the dwarf planet. New Horizons flew close to Pluto in July of 2015. The spacecraft will be heading further into what is known as the Kuiper Belt. The Kuiper Belt is an area beyond the planets where there are asteroids and comets. New Horizons will visit an ancient object called 2014 MU69. The spacecraft
is expected to reach the object on January 1, 2019. NASA says the 2014 MU-69 is more than 1.5 billion kilometers beyond the orbit of Pluto. NASA calls 2014 MU-69 one of the early building blocks of the solar system. Jim Green is NASA's Director of Planetary Science. He said the New Horizons mission to Pluto exceeded our expectations. He added that NASA is looking forward to continuing explorations with the spacecraft. We're excited to continue onward into the dark depths of the outer solar system, he said. Green said scientists did not know about 2014 MU-69 when New Horizons was launched. New Horizons left Earth in January of 2006. NASA also said it was keeping another spacecraft called Dawn in orbit around the dwarf planet Ceres. Ceres is much closer to Earth. It orbits the Sun between the planets Mars and Jupiter. Green said Dawn will continue to observe Ceres in an effort to make more discoveries. Dawn was launched in September of 2007. I'm Anne Ball.
This is What's Trending Today. The internet search engine Google celebrated a woman scientist on Thursday. Her name might not be world famous, but on July 7th, on what would have been her 155th birthday, she was a trending topic on social media. Nettie Stevens studied genetic material. The American geneticist and biologist made an important scientific discovery in 1905. She found that the X and Y chromosomes decide the sex of a living organism. Most human cells have 46 chromosomes. Each one is an extremely small line of chemicals with genes. On Thursday, Stevens's likeness appeared on Google's American homepage in the form of a Google Doodle. The picture led to a discussion about Nettie Stevens on social media. Throughout history, scientists and many other people had debated how the sex of a human being and other animals is decided. In the 1800s, for example, many Europeans believed that the food a mother ate during pregnancy helped determine the sex of her baby. But Stevens's research proved that X and Y chromosomes are the deciding factors. Her scientific research was groundbreaking, yet she was not always given credit for the discovery. Another scientist, Edmund Beecher Wilson, found similar results at around the same time. He was most often credited with the discovery. But on Thursday, it was all about Nettie Stevens. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Parallelism is the repetition of similar grammatical forms. It is a powerful tool in public speaking and writing. You may have heard this quote attributed to Julius Caesar.
I came, I saw, I conquered.
The repetition of I followed by a verb makes this an example of parallel structure. Parallelism helps make an idea or argument clear and easy to remember. It also shows that each repeated structure is of equal importance, and it is a powerful tool for public speaking. Throughout history, many famous leaders have used parallel structure to communicate with the public. Here is a famous saying by Abraham Lincoln.
You can fool all the people some of the time, and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time.
Lincoln repeats people and time in all three clauses, but he changes the order of the words some and all. The 28-word quotation is easy to memorize because of its rhythm and parallel structure.
One common type of parallelism is called antithesis. Antithesis simply means the opposite of something. Let's take a look at the first two lines of the Charles Dickens novel, A Tale of Two Cities.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness.
Notice how Dickens uses pairs of opposite words, best and worst, wisdom and foolishness. Writers and poets have long used antithesis to show the paradoxical or opposing nature of life. English poet John Milton contrasted heaven and hell in this passage from Paradise Lost.
The mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell, a hell of heaven.
Some of the most famous speeches in history also have examples of parallelism. Martin Luther King fought for racial equality in the United States in the 1950s and 60s. In 1963, he gave an unforgettable speech on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. King and his supporters were pushing the U.S. Congress to pass a civil rights law. In his famous "I Have a Dream" speech, King uses several forms of parallel structure to communicate an uplifting message. Listen for repetitions and opposites.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
In the speech, King made many contrasts. King contrasts the sons of slaves and the sons of slave owners. Those were the people who made up most of his audience that day. He also contrasts heat with oasis and injustice and oppression with freedom and justice. The speech led to major changes in U.S. laws. Congress passed the Civil Rights Act the following year, which outlawed racial discrimination.
Parallel structure is a useful tool for student writers. College professors expect a student paper to have a thesis statement. A thesis statement is a one-sentence summary of a paper's main argument. A first-year student might write something like this.
Proposal X is not good.
A better thesis using parallel structure might look like this.
Voters should reject Proposal X because it is unfair to minorities, impossible to enforce, and unnecessary.
In this parallel thesis statement, the writer has set up a series of three adjectives: unfair, impossible, and unnecessary. These three adjectives can organize the structure of the entire paper, with one section for each adjective. A strong parallel thesis statement makes it easier for students to organize their thoughts and write their papers.
English learners and native speakers alike have difficulty with parallelism. Some writers mix different grammatical structures. For example,
I like running, biking, and to swim.
The gerunds running and biking are mixed with the infinitive to swim. The mix breaks the rhythm of parallel structure. This is known as false parallelism. A better choice, then, is to use three gerunds in a series.
I like running, swimming, and biking.
Another option is to use three infinitives in a series.
I like to run, to swim, and to bike.
Let's look at an example of a more complex sentence.
My supervisor asked me to write my report quickly in a way that is accurate, and he also wants plenty of details.
To improve this sentence, try to use a series of adverbs ending in ly. Do not be too attached to the original words. Here is an improved version of the sentence.
My supervisor asked me to write my report quickly, accurately, and thoroughly.
The original phrase with plenty of details was changed to thoroughly with no change in meaning. The change creates a smooth series of three adverbs ending in ly.
Keep in mind that most people do not use long parallel structures in casual conversation. It would sound a bit unnatural and overly formal. But in writing and speeches, it is hard to go wrong with parallel structure. It is the best way to make your writing more concise, clear, and memorable. I'm Ashley Thompson.
I'm John Russell.
And I'm Adam Brock.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.